Well, I'm joined here in the News at One studio by the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath. We understand that Leo Varadkar did brief the Cabinet today, Minister, on the plans so far as the government understands them in relation to Meta. What have you been told about what are Meta's intentions?
Thank you, Brian. Well, look, first of all, just to say it is a dark day for anyone who is being told that they're going to lose their job. And our thoughts are with all of those workers and their families who are directly affected, and to reassure them that we as a government and all of the agencies that work with us will help them insofar as we possibly can. And many of them have skills that are in short supply and are in real demand across different sectors in the Irish economy, including a significant number of vacancies elsewhere within tech. And so we'll be working with them now to help them. I want to pay tribute to the way in which the company is doing this. They're fully complying with all of their legal obligations and have reassured us as a government about their commitment to Ireland. And they very much respect the way in which the Irish government has worked with the company. And we appreciate their long-term commitment to staying in Ireland in regard to their international headquarters. And they will still employ a very large number of people in this country.
Yeah, but your understanding is upwards of 400 jobs will go.
Well, what they have said publicly so far is 13% globally, and in Ireland it will track the overall rate of job loss. So it is in that range. But when it comes to specifics, we do think it's important that due process takes its course and that the employees affected are notified in the first instance, that all of the legal obligations are fully complied with, and the company will be making additional statements as time progresses.
These are well-paid jobs, as are the jobs in Twitter, which it looks like will also be lost, and there's concerns around other tech companies that may be facing a much more difficult trading environment, and there could be job losses in some of those as well. Does all of that have implications for income tax receipts? Because particularly we're talking about well-paid jobs.
Of course it does, but I think we have to recognise this is a global phenomenon. It is a sector that enjoyed phenomenal growth during COVID and beyond, and there was certainly an element of overreach and over-recruitment. And now we are seeing a correction, but I'm so conscious that we're talking about people here and the jobs that people have and the livelihoods that they rely on to pay their rent, to pay their mortgage and so on. And when it comes to the public finances, we have always been upfront about the risks. And that is why we have responded from a policy point of view to manage those risks. We have always set out from the perspective of corporate tax, for example, that we do regard a large share of the corporate tax receipts that we are receiving in Ireland as being potentially windfall in nature, between 8 to 10 billion euro. That is why we are now publishing not just the overall budget balance, but the underlying budget balance in a scenario where all of those windfall receipts were no longer being received in Ireland. And we don't envisage that situation at all. And equally, we are putting away funding. We're running a budget surplus this year and next year, and we're putting away 6 billion euro into a national reserve. So this is very manageable from an Irish perspective. This is a sector that employs over 160,000 people, and we have about 260 FDI clients in tech, and many of them are robust. They are resilient. There are vacancies across the country. Just last Friday, I was part of an announcement by NetApp in Cork that they would be recruiting hundreds of people.
And that's very
tech
encouraging
in the next
to those who may be facing losing their jobs in the next number of weeks. But in relation to the public finances, the government finances, at budget time, you were forecasting corporate tax receipts next year in 2023 of, well, close on 23 billion euro. Yeah. Does that figure still stand?
Yes, it does. We will be updating our forecasts again in April of next year when we publish the stability programme update. But we are very clear in the presentation of the budget and in all of the documentation that we published about the risks facing the Irish economy, and we have taken into account those risks insofar as they were crystallised or we had knowledge of them at the time of the budget.
So
but in the round, we are satisfied that our public finances are robust. The economy here is very diverse. We have a broad base, even in FDI.
But just specifically on this budget forecast for next year, you're saying that that expectation for corporate tax receipts, close on 23 billion euro, stands, even though the Business Post was reporting at the weekend that internal documents in the Department of Finance say that, and they put a figure on it, 2 billion of the corporate tax receipts for this year won't recur in 2023.
So that was a very specific reference to receipts that came in the month of October and were published as part of the Exchequer returns. But at budget time in late September, taking into account all of the information and the facts available to us as a government. The Department of Finance published their forecasts. We stand over those forecasts. They will be reviewed in the lead up to the Stability Programme update in April. So it's only twice a year that we update forecasts at that level of detail. Of course, there are risks, and we are seeing significant slowdown in the global economy. We're seeing a major correction in the tech sector. That will have an impact on Ireland in terms of job losses, income tax and corporate tax down the line. But we do believe it is manageable, and we have provided for it insofar as we can in terms of the budgetary framework because of the approach that we've adopted.
How great is the risk of a recession here next year?
There is a risk, but on budget day, we set out our forecast for next year, which provide for modest growth. So when it comes to modified domestic demand, for example, we forecast growth of 1.2%. When it comes to GNISR, which we think is the best measure, it was of the order of a half of 1%. So you wouldn't have too much of a distance to travel if those forecasts were wrong for the economy to be, broadly static or even go into negative territory. So it is possible. But of course, entering into a recession can mean lots of different things. But in broad terms, the fact that we are forecasting that the Irish economy will continue to grow, notwithstanding the international environment, I think is a positive.
Yeah, but one of the things it could mean, and you'll be Minister for Finance before the end of this year, one of the things it could mean, the situation you could be facing is rising unemployment, therefore greater draw on the social protection budget, shrinking revenues both from income and on the corporate side, a very different fiscal picture facing you as Minister when you're framing the 2024 budget next year.
Look, there are certainly risks. There are fiscal risks and economic risks, but we have been very upfront as a government about how we are going to manage those. And we do believe that the Irish economy has real strengths. We are broadly based, even if you look at FDI, while we have a strong tech cluster, we're also a really strong performer when it comes to pharma, biopharma, life sciences, international financial services, the gaming sector, agri-food. So we have a very broadly based
economy.
But they
wouldn't be insulated, would they, Minister, from a significant downturn?
Of course they won't be fully insulated. We are an open economy, and we sell 90% plus of the goods and services that we make here in Ireland. So we are dependent on external demand, and the global trading environment will have an impact on Ireland. There's no point in sugarcoating that. That is a reality. But that is why we have to focus as a country on remaining competitive. We are, if we look at the broader context, we are here pretty much at full employment in Ireland. We have vacancies across a whole range of sectors. We have net inward migration. It is a place where people want to come and live because of the opportunities that are here in Ireland. And pretty much every week now, I'm meeting international companies who are increasing their investment in Ireland, who are making new announcements about what they plan to do here in Ireland. So we have great strengths in terms of a stable political environment, certainty around the corporate tax offering, a very strong talent pool, and committed membership of the Eurozone and the European Union.
As I said, you'll be taking over from Pascal Donoghue as Minister for Finance before the end of the year, but there's also the situation in which he's got government backing to retain his role as the chair of the Eurogroup. They wouldn't be unprecedented that we'd have, a country in which the Minister of Finance would be, for example, yourself, and a different minister would be in the chair. But does he have? He has government backing for that. You support this initiative by the government to try to secure his re-election?
Yes, I do. But first of all, can I just say, they need to recognise due process in terms of who is going to be serving in what portfolios in the Irish government come the middle of December. But yes, I and the government strongly support Minister Donoghue's re-election bid to be president of the Eurogroup for a second term. I think he's done an exceptionally good job. I think it is a positive for Ireland. And if the opportunity is there, then we certainly want to take that opportunity to get a second term to have an Irish presidency of the Eurogroup. But what it will mean in effect is that the serving Irish Minister for Finance will attend both Eurogroup and ECOFIN as the Irish representative, so as the person who sets out and speaks for Ireland in terms of all of the policy issues that come before Eurogroup and ECOFIN. Minister Donoghue's role as chair or president of the Eurogroup is quite distinct and separate. He has to be impartial and independent in how he performs his functions, setting the agenda in consultation with colleagues, chairing the meetings, trying to draw conclusions, communicating the outcome of those meetings, representing the Eurogroup internationally in other fora, and so on. So,
so they're quite distinct and separate roles.
You
would be the voice of Ireland at those meetings in that formal sense. But of course, we know a lot of business gets done informally, does it, in the contacts that take place when the actual meeting isn't formally in session. So what kind of role would Pascal Donoghue have in that sort of situation, in that setting?
Well, he would have the same role that he's had for the last 2.5 years as being president of the Eurogroup, which is a very significant international position that carries a lot of influence. But it is the case that whoever is serving as the Irish Minister for Finance is the national representative and is the person who, at those fora, Eurogroup and ECOFIN, sets out the Irish position and argues for the Irish position. So there is that delineation and that distinction in terms of the two roles.
So is there,
being president is a very different role.
So what's the advantage then of having Mr. Donoghue in the chair for Ireland?
I think there are advantages in having an Irish minister, somebody who knows our country intimately and who has our national interest as a priority, serving in such an influential position. So if this can be achieved, and I believe it can be, and the government is certainly fully supporting this initiative and the proposal, then I think it is a win for Ireland. But that is how the two roles are quite distinct and separate. The serving Minister for Finance will be the national representative.
Right. Just before I let you go, Minister, the reports today that Minister Heather Humphreys is looking at job seekers payments, which will be linked to people's earnings at the time that they lose a job. I mean, a lot, something along the lines of the pandemic support payments that people will be familiar with over the last few years. How far advanced is that plan? Is that something that you think would be welcome?
Yes, I think it would. It is a programme for government commitment that we would explore this issue. The principle is that the amount of support you get when you lose your job will be commensurate with the salary level that you enjoyed before you lost your job, rather than having a flat rate, single tier payment. And as you've identified, we did follow this model over the course of COVID through the PUP payment. And I think it did work successfully. But there is a lot of detail to be worked out. Mm-hmm. There is consultation needed with employer bodies, with worker representatives, with other government departments. We have to make sure it's robustly costed, that it is sustainable. So Minister Humphreys will bring forward proposals in the next number of weeks. And then there will be a consultation period.
So it might make it into your first budget, might it? Sorry, I'm being presumptuous again, but the first budget of the next Minister for Finance.
It may well do, but there is a lot of work to be done between now and then. But we do think it has merit to link the support that you get from the state with the salary level that you were enjoying before you lost your employment.
Minister Michael McGrath, thanks for talking to us here on
Brian.
The News at One.